At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Hey everyone, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets, in the car while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Welcome in. I'm Doug Gottlieb. This is All Ball. Man, you're going to love this one. You're going to love this one. TJ Klein was a great player at Richmond. Of course, he plays overseas now. We're going to get his thoughts on growing up in the house of arguably the greatest women's basketball player of all time. Why it took him so long. He was a JV player his junior year in high school in Plano, Texas. Not exactly a basketball powerhouse, but how that all changed and how his life changed, why his life changed. Plus, what it's really like to play overseas, what it was like during the pandemic, all of that stuff. Kind of amazing. I want to give you my thoughts quickly, though, on the foul heard around the NBA world. Look, if you're listening to this, you're probably a ball guy, or at least you love the storytelling that we have on this show. I will say that all of us in basketball know, like, I don't know, the rule very early on to me was don't ever mess with somebody when they're up in the air. Right? You just don't. That's how people get hurt. And that's exactly what happened. I'm not willing to say it's a dirty play, but it was so incredibly dangerous what Dylan Brooks did. There should be a multi-game suspension. But even a multi-game suspension, God, how bad does that hurt the Warriors? Like, GP2 is not, he's one of those guys you're like, well, he's not one of their five best players, but he's incredibly important for their ability to change you up and play small. And, you know, he basically plays like the four and just a dunking fool and unbelievable. I mean, perfect example is John Morant goes for 47. Why? One of the reasons was they couldn't put GP2 on him. So that's a big loss. That's a sizable loss. And I think that it's going to affect the series. But more than anything, like, I do understand a little bit better why they kicked Draymond out of game one, just so there wouldn't be the elevation of the escalation of fouls, but it didn't matter. That fall was, that push was, it was awful. Okay. That's, That has no place in basketball. And instead of worrying about guys getting dinged in the head when somebody's going for a block, instead of worrying about elbows, which is part of basketball, and, you know, you're going to catch an elbow. A purposeful elbow is different than just catching an elbow because it's impossible to play basketball without your elbows. It's a contact sport, not a collision sport. That one, well, that one's got to be rectified. Got to be rectified. And yes, old school NBA is Dylan Brooks drives, he goes to the deck. That's the next time you see him on the court. That's likely what's going to happen. You know? Reminds me actually of a story, I'll tell you, when I played in Russia, we had a guy, Sergei Chikalkin, and Chika was, Willie Burton was our best player, Sergei Chikalkin, Chika was our best Russian player. And I'll never forget, we're playing against CSKA, which is the Red Army team. At that time, no one had beaten them for the Russian championship. We did that year. And we're playing them actually in the Nebel Cup championship, and we end up beating them in that as well. And late in the game, I think it was Andrei Fetisov, who had played in the NBA, fouled Sergei Chikalkin, Chika, and put him on the deck pretty hard. And at the end of the game, towards the end of the game, the president of our team was up in that little area where the communists used to sit back in the day. And he gets up and he walks down and he whispers to something, a guy on the end of our bench, who's this big, strong player, but he wasn't really great. He could shoot a little bit and could set screens, but he was kind of our thug, really. And the game is over. We go to the middle of the court. We do the clap and point to the fans thing. And then we go off our way to our locker room. And that guy follows CSKA to their locker room, goes into the shower and beats up Andrei Fetisov, comes back to our locker room. And our president says, this is what we do here at Euro Great. And he gives him $5,000 cash. That's the vigilante justice that happens. I don't know if it happens because I don't know if Dylan Brooks plays, but it wouldn't surprise me. You can't touch a guy when he's in the air. Everybody knows that. Reminder, the Doug Gottlieb Show, daily 3 to 6 Eastern, 12, 3 Pacific on your iHeartRadio app, Fox Sports Radio or FoxSportsRadio.com. Let's get to my discussion with TJ Klein. So your story is fascinating, but for anybody who watches a clip of this on Zoom, I'm looking and there's like dope mountains behind you. It looks like you're at a ski resort. Where are you right now?
So I'm in Andorra. It's okay. So I say Andorra, Spain, just to give a little context, but Andorra is actually its own country, right? So it's about 2 hours north of Barcelona. And it's in the mountains. I mean, look behind me. This is the whole country right here. So it's about 68,000 people. And it's part of the ACB, so the Spanish League. You know, you're familiar with overseas ball. So it's a great opportunity and an unbelievably gorgeous. I had no idea, you know, what to expect over here. And I've only been here 3 weeks. But Andorra, Spain is a beautiful place. So that's where I'm at right now.
Okay, so in the States, it's NBA playoffs, right? So now are you prepping for next year? Are you guys still playing this year? What's going on right now?
No, so we're still playing this year. So what's interesting about overseas basketball, it's different than the NBA. And I actually saw something about like the XFL, the winner and the winner of the XFL and the last place team in the NFL switch or like a relegation type thing. Yeah. So that's kind of the situation they're in. They've had a great Euro Cup, which is international, and now they're in the ACB and they've struggled. So they're kind of at that relegation stage and they're fighting with about three other teams. So it's very much in, you know, the thick of this season. We got three games left and two of them against like the bottom two teams with us. So it's our own little playoff as it is. And that's what really makes overseas interesting is like, even if you're at the bottom, you're fighting to not get relegated, to not get the second division. So that's where we're at right now.
Okay. Are you signed just this year? Are you here just to save the day? You're riding in on a white horse.
I mean, I don't want to say it like that, but, I think, you know, I definitely have been, you know, brought in to help us stay in the league. And, so it was about a month contract. And as you know, overseas, you know, it can be a month, it can be 10 months, it can be 2 years. It's not like the NBA. So just a 1 month deal. I was with the Go-Go in Capital City earlier this season. And when the G League playoffs ended, I came over here.
Yeah. Guys used to do that with the CBA. They used to do Venezuela a lot, you know, Puerto Rico.
some of the other stuff in South America for some quick money, right? Korea, I think, used to Philippines also as well. It's interesting to get to the Philippines is big to go get quick cash, you know, whereas you know, you didn't make a ton of money in the States and you can make some quick cash overseas. And then is the plan to go to summer league? Like where are you right now with your pro career?
So I'm above 27 right now, and I'm really kind of understanding that I got to like 32, 33 for that kind of prime range to be done. And now seeing the game. So right now, I did the G League. We're talking with the Wizards, maybe go do summer league with them this year. TBT, as we talked about, the web just announced they're in. So I'm running with them. Hopefully if they get in, if not, I'll open that back up. There's consideration. So my mom coaches in the Big Three. So there might be a plan, you know, to do that and kind of, you know, that would be special so I don't know. It's just, there's so many leagues and I feel like there are so many opportunities to just keep playing basketball while my body allows me to, that I really have no plan going forward. It's just keep getting better. The dream is obviously the NBA. That's why I did the G League this year. I was a little late getting there on the COVID waves and everything like that. But that's just the plan. It's just enjoy where you're at and play.
You know, it's interesting. I mean, obviously, seeing you at Richmond, I would have never thought that you were like a JV player most of your high school career. Were you like a super late bloomer? What was that about?
Super late bloomer, super, just not a hard worker. Like I said, my mom coached and I kind of took the physical skills for granted. And as you know, that's really easy to do when you have a, you know, comfortable life and you're playing, you don't really have to, you know, fight as much at the time because you're going to be on those teams. You're going to be put on this AAU team, put on this team, put in situations to succeed. And I think that it kind of caught up to me, my junior year when I was on JV and I'm like, you know, what's going on here? My friends are on varsity. And I think that summer, like my dad looked at me, he was like, you might go to Collin County Community College. Like if you want to play basketball and you want to go to college, like I'm just letting you know if you don't put in the work. So that summer I trained as hard as I could, like dropped everything and went from unranked on JV to all state. And we were in Marcus Smart and Phil Forte's district. So that was our rival. When you talk about like top dog, we could never crack. That was the team, like always match up. And Marcus would take a charge or hit a three or something. And, but I think that was just, it was just like failure and kind of honestly being scared that I would never worried about living up to my family name, but worried about if I don't want to be at a JUCO. I don't want to be at a community college playing basketball. Like I want to live my dream out. I want to play college basketball. And so I don't know what clicked, but that summer something clicked. I grew a couple inches and, you know, everything kind of fell into place. But yeah, it was really scary being on JV that junior year.
What was it like growing up?
It was cool. I tried not to put pressure at the time and I don't think I ever really did. And my mom never did, but it was really cool getting to go to these events and meeting these people and all-star games and going to Michael Jordan's Hall of Fame induction. Like, things that I kind of took for granted were the norm back then. Now you kind of sit back and you see all your peers. Now they grew up and you're just like, wow. And you really hit you of how blessed I really was. So it was a really cool childhood. Like it was the norm for me, but looking back now, it was the coolest thing a kid could have ever asked for to have your mom break down film with you, you know, watching a game with a coach. Like those are little nuances that like I look back and I'll never forget, but in the moment, you don't appreciate it as much.
No, I mean, look, I have the same thing with my son where he's a late bloomer. And I think he takes a little bit for granted that like, you know, you're good, but there's a ton of, he's only 13, right? But there's just a ton that you got to do because everybody else is working, you know,
right.
And there's so many great rewards like this. It's like the life that you've gotten to live is because of her hard work. And then, by, you know, for your kids, it's kind of the same thing. And I think, you know, it does at some point that light bulb goes on. So all of a sudden you kind of blow up your senior year, right? What was the college decision like?
It was a pretty easy one. So I had two offers, right? So I had the Air Force Academy and I would have had to go to the prep school and I went on an official visit and I looked at my dad and believe me, the mountains are there. They're great. I'm sure they're gorgeous too. And I looked at my dad and I remember please don't make me go to this. Please don't make me go to the Air Force. Like, I swear I'll do my chores. I'll do everything you want. You'll never hear a complaint. 10 o'clock bedtime, no worries. And I think that my dad was really like, no, this didn't set you up long term. And my mom was kind of, okay, Tim, that's my dad. So Tim, you know, maybe this isn't the right, maybe TJ isn't a military guy. So I passed that up, and I had to then go play AAU after my senior year.
Sure. Postgrad.
Which back then it wasn't as common as it is now, because now you can transfer, you can do everything. So it was kind of weird, like a senior doing that. So I do well, and I get a Facebook message from this coach, Mike Fairley at Niagara, who now, you know, going down the road, is one of my favorite coaches. So get a Facebook message, reach back out immediately. We get on a call. I go to Niagara University. Like, in the summer, no one's there, in next to Canada, Buffalo. So I go up. A few guys came down. Amin Tanksley, Wanya Green, who's a legend at Hofstra, and Coach Joe Mahalik was the coach at Niagara. Fell in love with him, kind of my only offer. And it was kind of like, okay, let's go bet on yourself. Let's go. You know, if you really love basketball, you'll go to damn near Canada to go play. So we packed my bags up. My dad and I drove 18 hours, and it was a special first year. Like, we had, if we all would have stayed, we had a top 25. Like, so we had Tajir McCall, who ended up going to Tennessee State. He played, got a 10-day in the NBA. Just is killing the Australian League. Wanya Green, only 1,000 point, only like one of four guys to score 1,000 points at Hofstra, at two schools, Hofstra and Niagara. We had Antoine Mason, Anthony Mason's son, as our three, who when we left is second in the nation in scoring behind Doug McDermott. So we had, and we were all freshmen and sophomores. And so if we would have stayed, but when Coach Mahalik left after that year, it was kind of a mass exodus and we all just left. But it worked out being such a blessing to go to that school and be so good as a freshman, that team.
Okay, so, and obviously this is before the days of the transfer portal, but so you go from kind of a little known dude, two scholarship offers, one was Air Force, right, where you had to go to prep, to now you have a little bit of substance. Obviously everybody knows your mom, right, and you've grown. What was the process of transferring to Richmond like?
Well, it was, you know, I was really, it was nervous because I was nervous because, well, two things that are different. I knew that I have to sit out a year. It's not like now when your coach leaves, like you just said, where it's like 1 year, you get a waiver and you're good. I knew that I had to sit out a full year.
Right.
So if you want to go to a place that, you know, values you, is going to develop you. And Richmond, when I got that feel, like, you know, I had a few high major calls, nothing crazy, but, you know, it was really down to Richmond, Charlotte, Boise State, and one other school. And I remember going to Richmond. I went to Charlotte, then Richmond. And Charlotte was cool. You know, it was a little uneasy, the coaching staff. I mean, not in a bad way, but they were, you know, just in a kind of do or die year the next year.
Yeah.
So Richmond came in, saw the facilities. Coach Mooney is just the man. Like, second dad, love that dude. Like, immediately you felt like a connection. And they showed me film of Dan Giroux, who's the coach of the Cleveland Charge, the G League team for the Canton Charge for Cleveland's G League team. Mm-hmm. So they showed me film of him, and it was like a mirror image of me. And I fell in love. I mean, we left campus, and I was like, okay, well, I'm going to sign when I get back, and that's the deal. And so it was a really easy decision. The hardest thing was just, okay, now you really are not going to play for over 365 days. Can you do that?
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
And so I will give you my perspective. So when I left Notre Dame, you know, so what I did was I sat at home for a year and went to a junior college where my first high school coach was coaching. And so I got to practice with them every day. And I was like on the, you know, the scout team. So I just got to go and be an alpha and do whatever. Right. And then I got to help coach in the games. And then my brother was coaching at Cal Poly San Luis Obispo, which is like a 4-hour drive. Oh. And so I'd go up and watch them play on Saturdays. We'd play usually on Fridays, sometimes early in the week. I helped that. And I get in the car and I go drive. And I had a girlfriend at the time who was at UC Santa Barbara, which was like on the way. So I just like stack my weekends with all that stuff. Right. But I truly believe that, like, now we're in this, hey, I want to transfer. I want to play right away. And that sounds great. But having played a year and then getting a chance to work on your game, it's so great because you truly know what you're missing. You truly know what you need to play at the college level. Whereas when you're prepping up into it, everybody can tell you, but you don't actually know. I think it's really valuable. But you've actually experienced it on a college campus. What, now that you have perspective, what do you think about that kind of gap year, if you will?
I couldn't have said it better. Like, I've always said, and my family has always said, my most important year was that redshirt year, because not only was it a year that you get humbled in college very quick.
Yeah.
And, you know, that first year you realize, okay, this isn't the same, you know, size. I'm sorry
to interrupt. I'm going to give you a quick one. Okay. So I was recruited. The only reason I took Notre Dame, chose Notre Dame, was John McLeod, NBA coach, you know, first year in the Big East. Notre Dame helps you out post career. Great school. Touchdown Jesus will make a 3-point Jesus. Fran McCaffrey was the coach. Like, was the coach that recruited me. I loved him. And I remember coming into his office 3 weeks into practice. And the other point guard, who I was supposed to just kind of be, I felt like given the starting job, was a guy named Admore White. And when I say Admore White kicked my ass every day for 3 weeks in practice, like in pickup ball, I was good. I was fine. Right. Because pickup ball, I was just open and just playing. It was just hooping. But you get into where people are like screening and these are grown ass men, and you're running like a real motion offense. You're playing real defense. And I can't tell you how many times we didn't have a shot clock in high school. So the shot clock goes off and like, you're the point guard. It's your fault. Like all these things. I remember bawling in tears. I was like, Fran, I fucking suck. And he's like, yo, bro, hold up. Like, it's 3 weeks. You're 19. Like, take a breath. But you're exactly right. Like, I was the cocky asshole that was going to come in and wreck shop. And 3 weeks into practice, I'm bawling in tears. I need to go home because I can't do this. I'm not any good, right? It's really true. It does truly humble you. And then you get a chance to like, all right, now I'm going to fix all that shit. Do you remember a humbling moment when you're at Niagara?
Yeah. I mean, I came off, I was in, my claim, if I was in Marcus Smart's district in high school, they were state champions. I was coming in on my high horse, you know, out of nowhere. And I remember, you know, a one moment, this dude, Amin Tanksley, and he's one of my good friends now, but I came off and I set a screen on him and we kind of got tangled up, da da da, and the shot goes down. And this is a dude. Now remember, I'm from the suburbs of Dallas. I'm from Plano, Texas. Okay. Yeah. Not to my fault. That's where I grew up.
Yeah.
And so he went to Imhotep Charter in Philadelphia. Okay. So he grabs me and I just flips me over on my back to where Coach Mihalik comes in. Like, yo, Amin, get the hell out of here. You know what I mean? Kind of like saved it in the situation. But at that point, I realized like none of the chicken wings, like we don't play that, you know, these guys are real dudes. Like all that trash talk. If you mean it in college, you got to mean it. You got to be, you know, you got to be willing to set the tough screens, battle, download. Like it's a different level of physicality. I learned that. It was like my fourth week. He flipped me in the middle of practice. I'm on my back. I was like, okay, I'll never stick out a chicken wing like that again in practice. You know what I mean? You'll do anything in high school because you said you're the top dog. But, you know, you kind of realize it when, you know, you're a senior and a freshman does that stuff. We don't do that around here. So that was probably my humbling moment of college. But just over, you know, that, I just can't stress that enough. Like, I completely agree. I wish that these kids, some could choose to sit out a year. You know what I mean?
I think we all, and part of it is the world we live in, right? We don't wait for anything anymore. We want it now. And I'll just, you know, candid, like I'm just as bad as anybody because I chose the school because I wanted to start right away. Right. And then I didn't want to sit, you know, I was like, hey man, you got to sit a year. You sit. Nah, no, thanks. Like I have no interest. So I wanted to play right away. And then sure. I'm sure if I could have transferred and played right away, I would have wanted to. But what I think more people need is the perspective of people like us who have been through it, which is like, I understand it feels like you should do it right away. And that would satisfy that need to play right away. And it's really, really hard. And I'm sure you can speak to this. That first half year you come back, it's kind of an out-of-body experience because you hadn't played in so long. You're just like, so it takes you a while to just kind of even settle in, even if you've been in the program. But it's actually the best thing for you because you can actually, one, you can be the alpha in practice, right? Whereas a lot of times as a freshman, you're not the alpha usually. When you transfer your first year, you're not going to be that, but you can kind of expand your game as a scorer because you're like, fuck, I ain't playing. So if I want to shoot a little bit extra, what are they going to do? Sit me out? I'm already sitting, right? And usually coaches encourage that as well while you're sitting out, like go get your work on your game. The other part is you got to learn about the school and kind of being a student and how all that works because, you know, once you get there, you're actually playing. You don't have time to kind of ingratiate yourself to other people around campus oftentimes. And it improves, I think, that. And then I think it helps you in terms of your development of understanding the culture of the place, the culture of the program. But we just, you know, it's that need we have for instant gratification. And I'm as guilty of it as anybody. Like I prefer to mobile order more than go in and do it as anybody, but that doesn't mean that's what's best for you. And I think you're saying what I agree with, which is it really is the best thing to sit out. And it's one of the things that screws up this whole process. You know, because a lot, if you're transferring, you're not going to the league, bro. You're like, you got to work on your game for college.
No, but and to counter that, the only positive thing I think about this is that guys like who are mid-major, you know, second round guys, like, for example, Kellen Grady, where he went from Davidson to Kentucky because he didn't have that one year. It's kind of like that, almost like a prep kind of year. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Going up here. But I agree that, you know, they don't understand that. And I think the human element we're forgetting is like, how much fun did you have in college?
Total fun.
Why would you not want another year of college? Like that was my, I got,
I just feel like, I feel like all these people that want these kids to leave college early. It's like, did you not go to college? Did you not have fun in college?
Your life, you'll never get it.
And like, wait, I get to do all the stuff with the team, but like, I can go out the night before a game. Like I can, I, like what?
That's what I was, and that's how you really get, you know, ingrained in the school is like right. being able to be not really having limitations. You got to just work on your game. There's no pressure of performing at the. So yeah, that's what people. I wish they would understand it more, and I wish that people would take the time to just sit, not, and like you said, we're an Instagram notification society, and I think that Instagram's really screwed us over with that because it's like totally. I feel bad. Let me get 500 likes and now my confidence will be back up. But it's they don't appreciate that if you sit out this year, and this actually happened to Grant Golden at Richmond this year. So he was going to rush back. He went down with a heart injury my senior year. He was going to rush back, right, and try to make it for the last 10 games of the season. He ended up not rushing back. We said, just get a full year. Think about this. So in his full year, you know what happened? Instead of him playing 10 games as my backup and making 10 minutes a game and, you know, hope. He started on a team that went to the NCAA tournament. He wouldn't have had this year if he had tried to rush back. Right. He got to go to the NCAA tournament. They won the A-10 title. Like, things that if you just have patience will come full circle. And I think that's a great, like, I'm so glad it paid off for him. But more people should just understand, like, when you're older, you're going to do things better.
Yeah. By the way, I'm still tripping out of the background. It looks fake. It's, I swear to God, it looks like, No, you don't have that. Like,
I want to show you the city. I want to show you the city. So look, so this is the mountains up here. And so this is the city down here. And this is the whole country.
People speak Spanish, English. Do people speak English?
Yeah. So they speak, it's like 50-50, but so it's a variation of Spanish called Catalan. And if they get into that, I'm screwed. But if they go Spanish, I'm from Texas. I took 4 or 5 years in high school, so I can put things together. But it's Catalan, you know, Spanish for the most part.
I love it. Okay, so what was your? Then you get to play at Richmond. What was your experience like?
I mean, I think that the way that we played just fit my game so well. You know, a passing big man, just the person that they give the ball to, and they let me kind of, cause I'm a pass first guy, or I was in college. And even now I just think to make the right plays is so much better than jacking up a shot and getting everybody involved. And that's how you really win. So when I had the ball in my hand, kind of as a sophomore, it allowed me to have a lot of confidence. And like you said, I was shooting the ball every time when I was a red shirt, because not only do you just have the ultimate green light, but every day I'm a different character. So right. I'm going to post up if this guy bangs, if the guy shoots fadeaway shot. I loved it when guys shot crazy shots. Who was my guy on scout? Cause that allowed me to do whatever. So that, you know, my confidence was high going in. We had a senior, Kendall Anthony, who was our point guard, and he really allowed me to kind of not take the reins with him, but really establish myself as a guy who could pass, dribble, shoot. And Coach Mooney gave me the confidence. I remember we played Davidson my sophomore year, and it's like the fourth or fifth game in the A-10. And I had my biggest game. I had like 23 or something. And Coach Mooney after that was like, you ready to take the next step? Like, are you ready? And he's always been good at kind of boosting your confidence that way. And I think from there, it was just like such a snowball effect and I really think it stems from that red shirt year. Like truly, like learn how to play at that level, confidence, all the things we talked about, to now I'm doing it in the games, not even thinking about it at an A-10 level when I was just in the MAC. And so I think that it was just, you know, when you're in a snowball, you just don't think, you just keep going. And we had a great year that year. And we went to the NIT quarters, lost to Miami to go to MSG. And it was a really great year for my confidence and kind of taking that next step. So it really just put me right into place.
What is it for those of us who haven't been in it? What is that VCU game like?
Craziest game. Like just the environment. Like when you go there, you feel like you're the most hated team in the world. And I see what you mean with the reflection, how this looks fake. It's just like when you go there, it's pure hatred. Like they're booing you off the bus. They're booing you to get in. And I'm like, dude, this is the A-10. This isn't Duke, Carolina. Like, what do you guys? Cause you know, our fans, they're nice. They're polite. They're clapping. They're this, they're encouraging. They're not hating. And these guys just hate you. I'm getting mess DMs. My mom's getting DMs. Everybody. Like to the point where I'm like, what did I do? So, you know, going in, and you're just nervous as hell the entire time. So I got lucky. My first game, they were number 14 in the nation, and we went in and knocked them off at their place. And so like our guard, Kendall Anthony, had like 30, you know, I hit like 2 threes, which is the only thing I had, just kind of flicked them in, was so nervous, and we won. So I think that shook the nerves my first time. And then we end up beating them my sophomore year, or we end up beating them the second time at home, down 3. Listen to this. So we're down, talk about like win probability, ESPN. We're down 3 with like 3 seconds to go. They foul us, intentionally foul us. Our point guard makes the first one, misses the second. They tip it out of bounds. We run a screen play. I screen, slip to the basket, lay up under the basket, goes into double overtime. We win, storm the court. So I'm 2-0 against VCU, right? Never beat him again. never beat him again. Played him 2 times in the A-10 tournament. And so like, to go back to your question, it's the most rowdy environment you'll ever experience. Like it's for it to be 3,500 people, 4,000 people in an arena. The bands, there's never a dull moment. There's people dressed up.
You know, what's funny. So when I was in Notre Dame, we didn't really have a rival, right? There's just in basketball, you just didn't like, we didn't play SC, we played UCLA. That's like a historic, but they came in and kicked our ass. They were defending national champions. We were in the new league, the Big East. We didn't play Marquette that year. It just wasn't like a natural rivalry. So I go to Oklahoma State and everybody talked about the OU game. And mm-hmm. we were supposed to be, no one knew we were going to be good, and we were picked last. And I just remember everybody's, I hate OU, fuck OU. And we hate them. And they were back then, they were real. Everybody was good. Tulsa was good. Oral Roberts was good. And we were good as well. And I remember okay, I'm supposed to hate them, but I didn't grow up here. I don't know any of those dudes. The only thing I knew was like Kelvin Sampson came in super late to offer me, but he clearly didn't know anything about my game. Like it was just awkward. And, so we go down there and we walk off the bus and you walk down the ramp and you walk in 2 hours for the game. And their place is notorious for being half full, right? Except for Kansas, Texas, and OSU, right? And so we walk in and there's not an empty seat in the student section. And they're yelling shit at you. And then I get introduced and they throw credit cards at me. And they have this, and I was like, okay, it's on. It took me exactly introduction to fucking hate them. Right. But before everybody's just telling we hate them. We hate them. We hate them. Like, dude, mm-hmm. I don't even know these guys. And it's really interesting on how was there a moment where it clicked where you're like, yeah, I don't like these dudes at all.
Yeah. I mean, it's everything about them. It's the way that Coach Mooney talks about it. It was when I signed to Richmond, it was the tweets at myself, at my friends, at my mom, welcome to the loser club. You guys suck, you're showing the record. And it's just these dudes are such assholes that I'm screw y'all. And from then on, it's just like Richmond is red and blue. They're black and gold.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Richmond's in this part of, Richmond, you are in this part of Richmond. They're in the city. They're complete. They play speed it up. We play to Princeton. We're trying to move the ball. They, press you 94 feet. So everything about you hates playing against guys like they're the way they act, they recruit certain guys. This is their brand. Shaka, yeah. Built up a great brand. But if you are on the other side, it's like, I'm sure you love them if that's your team. But if you don't, you hate them. And the fact they were successful, God, my blood just boils. You know what I mean? Just thinking about,
people are on Mooney's ass all the time, right? There's been, especially after you left, there was a down cycle, right? And then this year they obviously recovered. You played for him. You experienced the whole thing. What would be your retort to people who don't love Chris Mooney at Richmond?
Well, you don't see him every day. You don't see the trial. Well, first of all, Richmond's a private school in Virginia. That's, great academic. You know how hard it is to get students in there, to get athletes in there that you want to recruit. And so you got to see where he's coming from, the way he handles. I'm more about people than if you build a good culture and you're good to people, good things are going to happen. If you do it the right way, he does it the right way. You do workouts the right way. You work on things, you run the right offense, you play the right way. You do things on the court. So it's like he doesn't cheat. He doesn't do any of the slimy stuff, but they had a few down years. And people don't want to, they don't want to trust the process. They don't want to wait. They don't want to be patient. Like, we had a great group coming up. We were going to make the tournament 3 years ago as an at-large. COVID happened. We came back. We had 3 separate COVID cases with, a fifth-year team. So then they run it back this year. And finally, it's just, there were billboards in Richmond that said, fire Mooney, fire. It's just to go at someone when he's doing all the right things and a world pandemic ruined what was going to be the most successful season. And just forget about that 21-8 season. It pisses me off because the fan base at Richmond is supposed to be a tight-knit community. And when you got people putting billboards up to a guy you don't know, you've never met, you don't get to be in his presence and feel that energy and that love and what he does for us after basketball, you don't get to say screw Coach Mooney. You don't get to say anything as far as I'm concerned.
Where were you when the pandemic first started? Where were you playing?
I was in Israel.
Okay, so you're playing for Holon?
Hapoel Holon, yeah.
Okay, so you're playing for Hapoel Holon, and then did you guys, was it discussed? Did you see it coming? Like, as I'll give you my perspective was, I remember I was guest hosting for Colin Cowherd, and so I was going into the Fox lot every day. It's a radio show that's on TV. It's a simulcast.
So
you're listening to the news coming in. And I talked to a couple of my friends who are in the NBA. They're like, bro, this is bad. Like, they may stop playing some games for a while. I was like, really? Like, yeah. So the way that show works, you go in at 6 a.m, the show starts at 9, you go at 6, you have a meeting. There's like 15 people in it, start ideas. You got to have graphics and all that stuff. And I remember like 2 days before my last day doing it, I was like, hey, should we be talking about this COVID thing? Because it kind of seems like a big deal. And they're like, not a sports topic. And, you know, people don't want to hear bad news about a really bad flu. Right. That was it. Like, I was like, yeah, but they might stop playing sports. They're like, well, when that happens, we'll talk about it. I was like, OK. So literally the last day, it was like a Wednesday, because on Thursday I was leaving for the Big Ten tournament. On that Wednesday was when Rudy Gobert came down with COVID and they canceled that game. So that morning we get done with the meeting and I'm walking with a guy who's like the connector between the executives and the show. And I was like, hey man, listen, I think we got to talk about this COVID thing. Like, I think it's going to shut down sports. He's like, look, I hear you. It's on all the news stations, but it hasn't yet. And people don't want to just hear about bad news about people that, like, that's just not where we are. Like, it's important. I was like, I feel like, okay. But you know, like at some point you're still an employee and you're like, okay, I trust you. Like, we'll do whatever. So then that night was the Rudy Gobert thing. And the next day I'm driving to the airport to do the Big Ten tournament. And I get a text, turn around. And I was like, you get a text, turn around. You're like, no, don't go to the airport.
Fine,
Big Ten tournament's canceled. I'm like, what? So then I listen to the radio and they're like, they actually had canceled they played a Big East game that day. And at halftime, it was crazy. So where are you? Because in Israel, you play what, Wednesday and Sunday? I think Wednesday and Sunday.
Because we're in the Champions League. So Wednesday and Sunday, or Saturday after the Shabbat. So okay. Yeah, weekend, weekday. But I remember, you know, there being rumblings of it. And I'm a huge college basketball guy, right? So I went and got another miniature TV ready to go, you know, got a full stack of white, you know, paper to write on, you know, everybody's coming over to watch the games. And we watched the first one, like you said, the Big East game. And our season was still, we were still planned at that time. And so we had off practice that day before because they were talking about what's going to happen with this pandemic, da, 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 da. And so when I see that end, I was actually over with Marcus Foster he played at Creighton a couple years before. Yeah.
K-State and Creighton. Yeah,
exactly.
Texas guy.
Yeah, exactly. So he's one of my good buddies. And we had a great year that year, but so we're sitting there and we're like, what's going on? So then we get a text from our team, like probably 3 hours later, practice canceled, team meeting. We're like, okay. Cause there wasn't cases in Israel yet, right? So because if Israel there's cases, you know them, it's being shut down, the borders, everything's going to be. So we're like, okay, what's going on? Da, da, da. So we show up, team meeting, they're like, hey, the league's decided because of this coronavirus pandemic, you know, we're going to end the league now. Everybody needs to get out as quickly as possible before they possibility of shutting down borders. So Marcus, his wife, his daughter, myself, another teammate, I mean, we get the first flight in. We, you know, I take back the TV, right? So I take the TV back, pack my bags, and we're out of there in like 2 days. And so to talk contract negotiation, I mean, as far as like buyouts, they're not going to make any money for the rest of the season. They're going to have to settle with us. The TV people aren't going to pay that. So it was just like so much stuff happening at once, but your only focus was like, are we going to die if we get this? Like, because that's, no one knew what it was.
Nobody knew.
So we're like, what? First, you're like, okay, it's a common cold. And then it's like, it's a flesh-beating bacteria. And then it's like, okay, let's just get home. So it was the craziest thing to be overseas, because you had to make sure the country we're going into didn't have any cases. You know, you're going to be in the airport. Do they have certain regulations that, you know what I mean? You have to get. So it was just it was kind of weird. And the team worked really well with us getting back. But to be in a different country when the pandemic was going, we had no idea what was going on. And I mean, we made it back, you know, a week before it, you know, I think the lockdown was in place in the States. Yeah, because that was probably like 3 or 4 days after the Gobert thing.
What'd you do during the lockdown?
Stayed at home. I mean, the great thing about the lockdown at the time is I was gone for 8 months. So it's not like I've seen my family every day. I'm thrilled to be locked in with my siblings and my mom. To be able to at least hang out. By about a week in, it got a little tiring. Luckily, you know, there was a basketball church that we knew the pastor, and they let me slide in there daily. And that was kind of like my therapy. But other than that, I mean, video games, I ran back NCAA 2K, the one with Reggie Bush on the cover.
Sure.
Won the championship. And I'm sorry to say it, my dad did business with Oklahoma at Learfield. So I grew up a diehard Sooner. I'm sorry. Not basketball, only football. So I run it back, had Kyler Murray, you know, had Marquise Hollywood Brown on my team. So we won a few titles in that time, and that's about it.
Okay. And I'm sure you watched The Last Dance too, right? Like, so.
Last Dance. Yeah. Yeah. Last Dance and Seinfeld.
Favorite Seinfeld episode is what?
The soup Nazi. No soup for you.
No soup for you. That's amazing. Okay. So your first team back was where?
First team back. So I go back overseas and I sign with, so me and Marcus played really well together that year when the pandemic hit. So that was one positive. Stock was high. So I went to a team in Italy last year, Brescia. This team called Brescia, and they're about an hour outside Milan. Euro Cup, really good opportunity. And it was cool. It was like, I love living in Spain because I've been in Israel 3 years. It's a new experience, completely different. Italy, I was so excited for the food, it was the worst hit place by COVID in Italy. So remember, it hit Italy hard first.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Most deaths that's a really older population over there. It knocked out a lot of them. So that we were in a red zone. So if you left your apartment without, you had paperwork on your desk, and it had to say, "I, TJ Klein, am leaving at this time to go get. You can either get your haircut, supermarket, or work." So to say, "I'm going here," and if you didn't, it was like a 500 euro fine if they pulled you over and you didn't have the paperwork or there wasn't reasoning. So it was a cool team and situation, but it just was not the same. And it was the toughest one.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
So, you go into play in Italy, and it's this place that's devastated by the pandemic. Were there any fans?
No. No fans, like, on the road. The only positive, no fans, no nothing. Only positive thing, your own road, your own room on the road. COVID rules.
What do you mean, your own room on the road?
Your own room on the road. So, normally, you're bunking up. You know, you're up, small beds.
I know that, but everybody else doesn't know that. They think this is, they think like, oh, you go to Europe, you're just getting paid and you're hooping. It's like the NBA. We're like, nah, you practice twice a day. You room with somebody else on the road. The beds are not luxurious, even in nice hotels, right? Like, no, it's completely different.
They're singles in every hotel. And if you get a queen size bed, it's two singles put together and you hope there's a mattress pad over it. No, they do. That is the luxury we have in the States. Is we take it for granted for what's going on over here.
Who is the other American?
So we had a bunch of, we had Kenny Cherry last year. Sure. He went to Baylor. We had Drew Crawford, who went to Northwestern. And those were the two other. Oh, and Tyler Kalinowski went to Davidson.
Sure.
And so those were our three, me and me. Those were the three Americans or the four Americans. No, it was definitely a culture shock. Me and Kenny probably became the closest. He's out in Spain as well. But, you know, it was a daily. That was the hardest year of my professional career. And the thing is that people really don't understand that I'm so glad I did the G League this year to understand. And the Wizards, I don't know if they're like most organizations, but we share a practice facility with the Wizards. So we get the training table, we in the practice facility anytime we want. They really treat us well. And I mean, it was the best professional experience as far as facilities, amenities, and that's in the G League. And I was making, you know, way less than you're even making over here. But the style of life and you know, there's nothing that compares to what we have in the States. And people don't understand that enough. Like, guys,
you're in Italy and everything shut down. How'd you eat? You had to cook yourself or did you DoorDash? Like, what is it?
Oh,
like,
DoorDash. Come on. I'm not missing out on that Italian food. So, you know, we had this guy, Paco, and he had the best restaurant in town. He would stay up late for us. And, you know, when we get out of practice, order a pizza, or order some pasta, order some chicken, sip fish. But no, I wasn't missing out on that food and that wine. So we had it delivered every night. And it was cool. I mean, it stunk, but at least I got food.
Did you guys hang out together or did you have to maintain your distance? Like, how was it with your teammates?
Well, I was lucky enough to live. There's this guy, Christian Burns, and he's been playing overseas for a while. And his family was out there and we lived in this kind of, it was actually the coolest place I ever lived in. I negate this, you know what I mean? But, and negate Tel Aviv, but we lived in a castle, Doug, and we had our own separate little houses. They had like a bigger one because they had a family of four, but I had my own two floor level and the Dutch or whatever, the guy who was the son of the guy was living over here in this area, this big part of the wing of the house. It was nuts. You never saw anybody. You can get in from the outside. But so I got to at least have the family vibe, and I miss my little brothers. I have two little brothers and a little sister, and I miss that interaction of kind of just being around, you know, playing with kids, just enjoying myself and just messing around. I'm a kid at heart. So I at least got to, you know, live and be with them and be in that area. But otherwise, no teammates over, no nothing. You go from the gym to home. Like my teammates who were single and by themselves were miserable.
You mentioned the 3 years in Israel. What was it like to be your mom's son in Israel?
It's the craziest thing, because that's probably that place was probably the least amount of, but clout. You know what I mean? Like when right. you go, oh, it's on it. That was the least that I ever had, because Israel, they're hardworking people. You prove what you can do.
So yeah, that's their big thing. You must come to prove yourself.
You have to. And, you know, they've gone to the army straight out of high school. They've carried a rifle. Like there's nothing that impresses them unless they see it with their two eyes. And so that was the coolest. And, but if you do well, the best fan, like I literally just tweeted, I got a lot of pushback because I tweeted about Halon fans being great, Maccabi fans. So I said, Israeli fans are the best fans in Europe. And they 1,000 people are going to Spain for the Champions League game out of Halon. So it's really, if they're with you, they're with you. It's amazing. But no, you have to prove yourself each and every day. So going in there as Nancy's son didn't mean shit on a grand scale. It's, can you hoop? Can you make us better? Can we win championships?
If you were going to give advice to somebody who's getting ready to go overseas, what would you tell them?
Just be prepared to embrace the journey. Like there's going to be things that you're going to be so battle tested. If you can, it's almost like the red shirt thing. If you can in the moment have the perspective of this is going to be a part of my story, a part of my journey, like the coolest experiences that I'll get to talk to Doug Gottlieb later about this, that, but like if you can really put that into perspective and pass that down to the next man who's coming out of college, like that's what I would say is like, you got to understand there's going to be some 9-10 hour travel days that are going to suck. And you're going to go to Slovakia to play a Euro Cup game. And it's just going to be miserable. And then you got to get up at 6 a.m. the next morning and go home. There's not going to be any ice. There's not going to be a cold tub. You're going to have to make your own food. You're going to be hungry. You can't read but embrace every part of it. So it's really, if you can just go in, nothing prepares you for this. So if you can go in with the mindset of I get to do this rather than I have to do this, it changes everything. And it's been since last year that I kind of adapted that. And it's changed everything on how I look at this, how I embrace this journey. Because you only get a little bit of time to be in your prime and play basketball for a living. And go on, it's like a vacation. Like I'm outside of practice, I'm here all day. So it's like, I'm living a vacation, but I'm also playing basketball. It's a special thing. So just embrace what the hell is in front of you.
I wish that we would allow the offensive basket interference in the state. The way that the goaltending rule in FIBA, I like the best. I think you compete for offensive rebounds. You can knock the ball off a rim on a second free throw. You know, when it's bouncing around up there, I don't believe in cylinder protection. I also love the 14 second reset on the offensive rebound. I love that. You play in it. Okay. It's a different style of basketball. What parts do you like? What parts do you dislike about the FIBA rules and how the game is officiated there?
I would definitely say that I like the rule, in theory, but when you're a white guy who doesn't necessarily play too much above the rim, that can kind of screw you over in a few cases. So it is nothing more frustrating on a second free throw and it's bouncing in and someone just bops it off.
But if they mistakenly tap it in, you get 2 points instead of one.
I know. But you know what? That happens very few and far in between. These guys, I mean, we have drills where they're practicing tipping it off the rim. So what I really like over here is the physicality. I also love the flagrant foul rule. Like if you're on a fast break and you can even be a step ahead of them. It's a flagrant foul, two shots. You have to be going for the ball. Even if you're guarding them one-on-one in the half court and they feel you didn't go for the ball. I mean, some guys will do the hard foul in the NBA, right? Like overseas, they go look at that. You're going in line for two. So it's like, you can't just get away with a, and I love the emphasis on using fouls. So if you're in a closeout situation, swung, a guy gets by me, drives by, I make a small foul on the arm and I raise my hand. It cuts off the, now they got to take it out, run the, it's just every possession means so much more because there's 10 minutes and I mean, there, you can pack the paint. There's still three.
I played for Maccabi Ra'anana and we're playing Maccabi Tel Aviv and we're playing in Metro West, which I'm sure you played there. And because now Ra'anana is what, B'nai HaSharon, right? They combined with Herzliya, I think.
Yeah, Had HaSharon.
Oh, Had HaSharon. Okay, so Anyway, we're playing, and we're at the end of the first quarter, we're winning. And there was a play where, you know, long three or something, and I'm back defensively. And instead of the quick foul, like I felt like it was going to be an intentional, intentional foul, whatever. So I didn't do it. And then they messed up on a 3-on-1 or 3-on-2 or something. And we were up like, I don't know, 8 at the end of the first quarter. And our coach, a guy named Sharon Drucker, he coached the national team. I think he coached the women's.
That was my coach 2 years ago in Holon.
Okay. Gottlieb, you must do foul. You must do foul. I was like, no. We must get stops and win the game, dude. I ain't fouling that shit. But the other reason is like, it would have been my second foul and I didn't want to sit, you know? So, and he was going to sit me. So I was like, nah, I might.
Right.
So, but
that's what they're all about, the good of the team. You know what I mean? I don't care if you have one foul, make the foul, we'll get another guy in. But you know what? Stop that 3-on-2. I know exactly. It's frustrating as an American knowing you're over there to produce. So I can't produce on the bench. But they're like, we don't care. We just want to win.
We don't care. No, we absolutely don't care. No, that's always an issue. Okay. What do you dislike about the way in which it's officiated or the rules are played?
I mean, I think what made the game a lot more fun in the G League was like, there was no defensive 3 seconds and over here you can just pack the paint. So like, I'm a fan of good basketball, but I'm also a fan of like play the right way, but you know, you can't just sit in the paint. It kind of takes away from the professionalism of being able to just go get a bucket. You can still be in help defense, but you even have to be more locked in because you have to tag a man in the NBA or yes. You have to get, but I mean, even Lucas said it's so much easier to score in the NBA because of that. And I think it allows you to showcase your game and kind of separate the level
by design, by design, right?
And I like that by design
to help the offense.
But I like that a lot because it allows play. That's the true essence of basketball is the beauty of one-on-one, you know, going to get, you know what I mean? Trying to get more, you know, buckets. And that's the one thing I don't like that I really like in the NBA. The space was just so much more fluid and you could really make more plays.
All right. Give me a guy who you had never heard of before you played against him. And you were like, I can't believe how good this dude is. I've never heard of this human being before.
Oh gosh. Okay. So I'm going to say I played with him my first year, right?
That's fine.
And he busted my ass in practice every day. And this dude's like 35 at the time, just came from Maccabi Tel Aviv. Was captain there for like 10 years, this guy, Guy Panini, right?
I know. Guy Panini was 18 on my team in Maccabi Ra'anana. And we would kick his ass every day and talk shit to him because he was kind of like a flake. Like he was like 18.
Yeah.
He liked the ladies. He was a good looking Israeli guy with good hair. He was tall. Yeah. And we used to fuck with him. So Guy Panini, go ahead.
And Guy, it was just, I'd never heard of him. I'm like, who the hell is Guy? There's a guy named Guy. So I'm like, hey, Guy Panini. So I show up, he's the guy. I'm like, okay, I'll start over this 34-year. He can shoot the shit out of it. He can play. I mean, he's the smartest player I've ever played with. He'll be a head coach when he retires, no doubt about it. He's still with Holon. Makes it, I mean, drops 2 or 3 dimes a game, hits a few threes, like knows his game at 36, 37. But that was a guy who I came in and I was like, this dude showed me. I say to this day, like, I'm as good of a foreman over here, like making reads and stuff, because he showed me how to do it. He showed me in a back screen, you know, when they hedge out, you just slip out. When they're in a drop, you set that back. Like, he taught me those things that I was like, dude, like, he's my greatest mentor, I would say, on the court that I've had overseas. And I had no idea who he was, or when I looked at him, you know, he's 34. I'm like, who is this average guy?
Yeah. No, they come in and they're just so random looking, whatever. And then they don't miss. Like they don't miss.
Dude, it's like it's in their Israeli blood. You know what I mean? Like they're going back.
It's not just Israelis. It's all of them. They get to that age and they just, they don't, they don't miss. You mentioned this window of your prime. Obviously, the dream is the league. How attainable is that dream?
I mean, I think that this year showed, like, Doug, I'm not saying that I'm going to be a 10-year guy. You know what I mean? Like, my goal is to play in the NBA. It doesn't matter what. It doesn't matter if it, that's why I went to the G League. Like, it didn't matter about the 10-day. Like, it doesn't matter.
But how did you not get a 10-day this year? It seemed like everybody was getting
10. I came late. I was coming off an injury at the end of last season. So we stayed there because there was the war last year in Israel, right? So we had to stay through that. And we didn't get
you back. You didn't mention any of that shit. I asked you about, you said you were in Italy, and then you didn't mention about going back to Israel.
Oh, so, okay, sorry. Yeah, so halfway through the season last year, Maccabi Tel Aviv picks me up.
Okay.
And I go out there.
Okay, so hold on. So for people who understand, European basketball, like, okay, Maccabi Tel Aviv. For people who don't, like, this is like the Lakers, okay, mid-season going like, hey, dude, like, you used to play for the Kings. The Halon is better than the Kings, I understand, okay? But it's like the Kings. And then all of a sudden, they're like, hey, the Lakers called, and they want you on the team. So what's that experience like of going to play for Maccabi Tel Aviv?
It's like my agent's like, hey, do you want to do this? Like, you're just like, yeah. I already start packing my bag. So just the cachet of, like, when you get there, the fans are all, yeah, I love Maccabi. Like, outside, when you're just walking in for shoot around, like, so the coolest thing was just, you know, the fan support from Israel. But you get there and it's like you see who walk in this famous, you know, their famous arena. And then you see everybody on the wall. You see all the legends. You see the history. You see the championships they've won. And so it's really just like walking down the hall of, like, seeing how I'd imagine how it'd be in the Lakers facility. Like, it's a great analogy. So getting there, that's kind of like the dream as you get overseas. Like, can you play in the EuroLeague, top league? And so just kind of it to be in the middle of the season was, it was a transition and everything, but it was also, I got there towards in February, and towards the playoffs, we had fans. So I got to experience, and I mean, to have 15,000 rocking in that arena, screaming, whether you're down or up, craziness, like fans like I've never seen before. It was the true Maccabi experience. And just, it was the coolest thing that I've had to experience as a pro. From a notoriety standpoint, just the team, the level, the travel, the private charters, that it was everything is advertised.
Okay, so war breaks out. What happened?
So, you know, Hamas, and there was, you know, rockets from Gaza fired, and we thought it was going to happen, and it was you know, it was like 2 a.m. and the sirens just go off, and so you have a bomb room in your apartment, and that's standard. You have to have a bomb room in your somewhere in your apartment in Israel. So whether it be in the hallway, whatever. So we had a bomb room in our apartment. So me and, you know, Tyler Dorsey from Oregon.
Sure.
We were the American, huh? There you go. Exactly. Yeah. So we were the Americans, two of the Americans out there that were not with family. So we got in the bomb room, just kind of waited it out. The sirens go off for, you know, you hear the missiles, and there's an Iron Dome that protects Israel. For those who don't know, the Iron Dome is 99.9% effective. So it's like, we're pretty sure we're good, but you know,
the Iron Dome, for people don't know, is it's a missile defense system that shoots down these rockets, right?
Right.
Not an actual dome, but it's like, it's a virtual dome that it's, you know, like all of this cell phone technology, that's all developed in Israel. And it was all developed in Israel for war, right? That we use just to talk on our cell phones, like all of this stuff. And they furthered it. And they have this, like, the missile defense system that actually shoots down other missiles. So when the missile rockets are fired, like, did you go outside and you're watching the Iron Dome? Are you in the bomb room? Like, what are you doing?
So actually, and a friend who just called me was actually out there, and she was the one. She played on one of the girls' teams. And so with all the Americans kind of together, and I was out there filming. So yeah, I mean, my thing was like, when will I ever get to experience and be in the thick of war again? Like, the Iron Dome is supposed to be effective. Like, let's go. Come on. I trust my Israeli people. So, you know, I'm out there filming, finally get in the bomb room. Because the thing is, when the sirens go off, you want to get in the bomb room because the missiles are done, but what the debris is still falling. So you don't want to be around, say it hits your balcony, say it hits anything like that. So that was the craziest thing. So it happened like 2 or 3 nights in a row, carried on for like a week. Just, we'd be at practice one day, sirens go off, go in this room in the building, da 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 da. So they postponed the league. About half the Americans leave. We all, you know, some of us stick it out, And the league got pushed back. So finally, you know, they had the peace treaty and they kind of resolved it within, I think it was like 2 weeks. It was the longest that it had gone in a while. And the first time they had shot in Tel Aviv in like 15 years. So it was quite the experience. It definitely rattled me a little bit overseas at the time, but I'm really happy I did get to go through that because, you know, what an experience, what a story that people don't get to have. And when my perspective changed on why these people are the way they are in Israel, they have to be, you know.
Well, that's the part that I don't think enough, like we don't understand. You cannot tell an American who hasn't been to Israel. You can't say, hey, you got to have these ideas and you have to treat these people like, no, you don't understand. Like on all sides, they're surrounded by countries that don't want them to exist. Right.
Right.
They don't really want peace. They actually want them off into the sea. Right. So our mentality is one where we can maintain some peaceful sense because we're separated from all the people that don't like us. Right.
Right.
They don't have that ability. You can't, that's just not the way it works. And it changes your perspective greatly.
And yeah, and it makes you understand why they carry a chip on their shoulder. They have to be watching their back at all times. The sirens can go off. And that's what it was kind of a normalized thing to them, that the Israeli teammates were kind of like, you know, this, you know, not to this extent, but this happens sometimes. This happens. This is why we have the Iron Dome. So just to see that's kind of the atmosphere that they live in. And they make the most of it, but it takes, you know, I have a lot of credit for them to still carry on and live their lives the way they do with, like you said, every country around them wants them dead. Like there's no negotiating about it. There's no like, well, maybe they're kind. No. Like, and so, no, it definitely puts a perspective change in your head and makes you appreciate it.
Coolest place you've been in your travels?
Ooh, coolest place. I would say Barcelona, but I'm not going to go basic. Monaco. Monaco was sick. From my rookie year, we went to Monaco. You look outside, you wake up, and it's just yacht, 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 yacht. Just, you know, from everything of the city to Lambo. I mean, you won't see a regular car out there. So Monaco is probably the coolest eye-opening thing as a rookie. I was like, okay, this is Europe.
Okay. Place that you least liked.
Man, I have to pick a team that doesn't have a good budget. Least liked.
He's like, you out there like, dude, this is rough. There's a place in Russia.
Mineral, okay. In
Russia. It was the grayest, ugliest place I've ever been in my life.
Yes. So what was the name of the city you just said?
Mineral Voda. It was like mineral water.
Mineral Voda. Okay. Yeah. So I got another one for you. No, I'm going to say Karşıyaka, Turkey. That was a weird one. That was also my freshman year or my rookie year. Keep saying freshman. That was my rookie year going to Karşıyaka, Turkey. It's in Izmir. And it was just I was living in Istanbul and that's kind of like a little bit, you know,
but Istanbul is amazing.
Unreal. So I'm like, okay, this is cool. But then you got to go on to see the real side of like kind of the underbelly of Turkey a little bit.
Yeah.
And I look outside and there was a dirt road and that was our scenery, just a dirt, you know, crop field. And I was like, okay, all right, we're in Turkey. So I would say that was kind of the weird one for me.
Okay. So last thing, in 10 years, where's TJ Klein? What is he doing?
Hopefully, you know, honestly, like, and it's worked, you know, decently to this point. Like, I just want to just keep doing as well I can in basketball as far as, and I know it sounds cliche, but in the sense of, like I've said, like, just take what's in front of me and not kind of plan it out. But the end goal is to just make connections that can help pass it on to kind of the young. I mean, we talked about how much, if we could tell someone about the transfer portal now, like, that's kind of where I'm at. I have a lot of younger siblings. I have a lot of younger, you know, kids, Grant Golden, Jacob Gilliard, guys that are just younger that I've kind of given advice to. And I really see like that's kind of the whole point of this whole thing. And so I want to be able to connect athletes and kind of help them, especially overseas athletes, to get their mindset right before they come over here and kind of build a, a network where you can reach out and you can hit up a guy who played for this coach and kind of so you can have an understanding and be educated on what it is. Because if you just go over here, I've seen a lot of guys, myself included, I wasn't ready for Istanbul. That's a tough place as a rookie. And I left. I told my agent, I got to leave. I got to go to Israel. You know, that sounds like a great place. But I wish that I would have, you know, just had someone to kind of let me know how it was. So that's what I want to do, just kind of help out the younger generation and in any way that I can. I mean, that's kind of the, you know, networking, communicating, you know, building people together is kind of where I'm finding myself right now and kind of what I've been doing.
How much do you get to watch the NBA playoffs?
I'm a psychopath. So, the 1:30 game I'm in, 1:30 AM game, I'm in here. The 4 o'clock game, which is tough because my boy Luca, I'm from Dallas. That one's recorded for the morning. So we go morning, then we go first things first, then the third, see what's going on.
Is Luca the most popular guy overseas, or is it KD? Is it Steph?
No, like, Luca for sure. Luca for sure. Especially in Spain and stuff, like 77s everywhere because he was at Real Madrid.
Yeah.
So I mean, Luca is the biggest one over here. When we played in Greece last year, Antetokounmpo jerseys like everywhere and on every corner, you know, 3-4, this, that. So he's the biggest, obviously, in Greece. But overall that I've seen, Luca is definitely the prodigy of Europe.
I've tried to explain to people that they don't dig the ISO ball. They don't dig. What is it? What about LeBron, KD, those guys? What's the real fit basketball guys wise? What's the feeling like of those guys overseas?
Like, what do the fans think of them?
Maybe not the fans. I've always got the feeling that the European coaches, GMs, players, they respect the athletic talent, but they don't like the way they play. They don't think they don't like guys that.
Well,
guys,
you know why, like, right?
What?
This is the culture, very structure, right? We're going to run a structure here. Right. You're going to short roll. You're going to cut from the corner. I don't care what the deal is. He's going to ship down. So that's the system. Right. When you can kind of open that up to like the one-on-one game, you lose a little bit of your structure. Right. You lose a little bit of that on that leash that you hold on to. So I think that's why that they're so, and I think it all has to do with that 3 seconds too. Because if you can just pack the paint, now you have to run something where you can't just give it to one guy. Because even if he gets past there. So they think that it should be more like we are. It should be slow it down. You know, every possession matters. But you know, they do, you know, they still love the low post game. So they think that it should be thrown in the low post, the 4 and 5, and play out of it. Some teams strictly play out of the 4 and 5. Like, point guards do not do anything, but you throw it in and then you run your flare action and we'll play a step up ball. But so that they're really back in the old way that their way works. It's a different, they take pride that Europe is a different style of basketball.
Yes.
And they don't want it to transition that way.
Yeah, I would agree. Who do you think gets to the finals?
I mean, the way it's looking, I think the Suns, Celtics look good last night. No, I think the Heat, Suns in the Heat.
Hmm.
What do you got?
I think the Warriors. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm intrigued. I don't know. Suns. I mean, part of it is Klay has not yet looked like Klay, and I don't know if he will. I think the more games are better for him. I'm sure his body's super worn down by it, right? Because you don't play for 2 years now. All of a sudden, you're playing all these games at this high level. It's hard. But I do think that, you know, all you need is a couple of Klay games in the playoffs, and that's a completely different team. They haven't gotten that yet. Losing Gary Payton, I don't know if you know, he broke his elbow on a foul yesterday. That's going to hurt, and that's going to change them. But I still think the Warriors, I don't know. I just, the way in which they're so good in that small ball that I think that's a really hard thing to stop, because Ayton will have to come out on the floor. And I also don't know what Chris Paul looks like when you get one more series, right? Like,
Yeah, that's
my thought. He's still in his late, and he's broken down before. He looks great, but there's always a limit there at that age. And then in the East, I mean, the Celtics are great. I agree with you in the Heat. They're just so good defensively. It's like
it's unbelievable. And they go small ball with Tucker at the five. Like, that's a really tough.
There's no miss.
Bam at the five and go Tucker. You know what I mean?
We got Bam, Tucker, and you can go with Jimmy Butler, And well, and then, you know, they can just throw dudes out at you. And, you know, maybe they have Hero out there who they try and hide a little bit defensively, or Max Strus. I mean, but they just guard.
They can just throw so many at that position. You go, you're Duncan Robinson, Max Strus, and those guys are just entered to keep running. And then you throw in Gabe Vincent's playing well.
Yeah.
Like, and then when they get Lowry back, it's, you know what I mean? That's a team that just has so many weapons. They just never get tired. And the way that how hard they play on defense, it's going to be hard to go to Miami and come out of there. Even if, I mean, I think the Celtics and Bucks are just going to beat the living crap out of you. You saw how these games have been.
Yeah. I do think the Celtics have more firepower. Obviously it helps when Jalen hits all those shots like last night. But the Bucks, that dude is so hard to stop. I don't know. Like, that's what I look at. Like, I watched Ja Morant last time. Like, how do you guard a guy who, if you play off, he just plays downhill? You know, you play up on him, he goes by you, and he just makes just enough shots to keep you kind of thinking he can shoot.
Yeah.
Like, and Giannis is dissimilar, but similar in the same way. You know, you play back on him and he starts going downhill into a spin move. Like, that shit is. And then, you know, the second you help, he finds the open shooter. And they hit you from three. Yeah, so that team is interesting if they get Middleton back.
Yeah, when he hit that pull-up three yesterday, it's just like that, just one pull-up three a game just adds that element where I need to be just a step closer, and that's all he needs to get past that first line. And he's really become a hell of a passer. Like, that's the craziest part to me is his vision after that first line.
All right,
so who are you taking?
I think I said the Bucks and the Warriors, and I'm definitely hedging on the Bucks thing without Middleton.
Yeah,
a lot better with Middleton. I like the construction of the Celtics. I like most of the construction of the Heat. I'm not as big on Lowry as other people are, just because at this point his age, he comes back, and I don't know if they have the scoring to do it. I mean, I do know Hero can score, but I feel like they want to play through Jimmy Butler. And I don't love that. I like Jimmy Butler when he's your third best scorer, when scoring is just something that happens, you know?
Right.
So the East, I think the East is super competitive. I honestly thought the Nets, had they gotten healthy, had a shot, but if you don't have practice, you don't have healthy dudes. So I think I said the Bucks, but I'm definitely hedging on that one.
Yeah, that's sad. But I like the Warriors pick, though. I really do. Like, I could see them going to win two straight at home, and then the rest is that.
All right, let's do this. Let's, if you have time later on in the playoffs, let's do it again, but we'll do only NBA analysis. What you see, what you like, what you don't like.
I love it. That'd be a blast, man. Thanks for having me on.
Well, you definitely win the background challenge. There's never been anybody background. Okay. and the outtaking videos of the Golden Dome is a big one. You need to send me some of those so we can put some of those clips on, because I'm sure that's amazing. And I'm happy you're safe and have fun at practice. We'll talk to you soon.
I appreciate it, bro. You'll get those videos soon. I got them saved. Don't worry.
TJ, you're the best. Thank you.
Bye, man.
See ya.
That was amazing, right? Now I want TJ Klein to be my NBA analyst the rest of the year. Super interesting thoughts on the league and fascinating stories on playing overseas. My thanks to him. Of course, you can, if you like it, you can tweet at TJ at TJ Klein 6. Klein is CLINE 6 at TJ Klein 6. And give him all the props and love you want, because that was great. Reminder, the Doug Gottlieb Show is daily, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific. You can also download the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast wherever you downloaded this podcast. My thanks for listening. Remember to write a review, to download, subscribe, rate it, and I hope you enjoyed it. I'm Doug Gottlieb. This is All Ball.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.